Well, welcome. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. Everyone has come here from literally across the globe to be here. We have an incredible panel of incredible women. But before I start, I'd just like to welcome up here the actual reason we're all here, the vision behind all of this, the person we really have to thank, and the Chief Brand Officer of Clarks, Mr. Jason Beckley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, this isn't at all about me in any way. It's obviously about this amazing film that's coming about and this amazing brand that I've been working with for the last couple of years. And I remember watching The Force Awakens and just realising I hadn't seen the film at all. And as a kid who grew up 4 miles from the Clarks factory and was obsessed with Star Wars, I kind of understood it was about Force, but I thought it was about good and bad. And then when I watched the character of Rey, I remember calling these guys from Disney. You should say these are the people from Disney who made this stuff happen. And saying we've got to work together. And I think it's because 6 years ago, I met someone who sort of changed my life. And I learned to see things in a different way. And this is my daughter. And a lot of the way I see things is about her and about how she grows up. And I think Rey is such a positive character and such a force of nature that it really inspired me to want to work with this franchise. And this isn't about sticking labels on products. I think this is about the spirit of what that character stands for. And that's why these amazing people, for me, represent that today. And I'm much more looking forward to hearing them talk than I am me. So I'm going to sit down and say thank you all for coming.
Thank you. So yes, we're all here today because these women are forces of nature. And I mean, they really, really are. I am quite intimidated sitting here. They're incredible. Now, obviously you want to hear from them and not me, but I am going to give a bit of a background to all of them. A brief background is near on impossible because they have achieved so much in their life. Each one of our panelists challenges the status quo. They've all overcome incredible obstacles, achieved phenomenal feats of both physical and mental strength. They're inspirational, all of them completely determined to be an individual. They will not take no for an answer. They are all forces of nature. So, on my left, I will start here, Victoria Modesta. Originally from Latvia, Modesta, due to an accident at birth, spent most of her childhood in and out of hospital. She came to the UK, and in 2007, she had a below-the-knee leg amputation to safeguard her future health. Since then, she has come back as a complete force of nature. Her physicality has been known for challenging the modern perception of altered beauty. She was just voted a modern muse of our time. She has broken the walls of every stereotype you can imagine. She is a singer, she's a creative director, she is a DJ. Her recent music video just won a Cannes Silver Lion for the phenomenal direction. She was seen doing ballet on a black metal spike. She's starring in the upcoming science fiction series, Killjoys. She's flown here from literally Mexico via LA, and she's a director fellow at the MIT Labs, so welcome. I'll go on, we have next to her, Dr. Eske Britton, an environmental scientist, pro surfer, filmmaker, and social activist. 5 times national surfing championship with a doctorate in environmental science. She's a postdoctorate research fellow at the Whitaker Institute of Innovation and Societal Change. The first female ever to surf the big wave and one of the first females ever to surf in Iran. She recently won a Sportel Peace and Sport Award for her acclaimed documentary, Into the Sea, about her mission to set up this female surf club in Iran. She's a founder of the Ocean Collective and the Surf and Social Good Project. So welcome. I told you, it's very hard to be brief on these women. And this is the short version, so please go and check out their full biographies. Next, we have Flight Lieutenant Kerry Britton, an RAF jet pilot and trainee astronaut to be. So at 16, Kerry broke her back. She was questioned whether she'd ever actually walk again. But by 22, she was not only walking, but at the RAF on the fast jet training program. She is now one of only 3 women in her squadron. She refuels fast jets air-to-air over war zones with over 100 missions to Afghanistan and Iraq under her belt. But not content with the sky, she's aiming for space. She was picked from thousands to become one of the three finalists on the recent TV series, Do You Have What It Takes?, in which she undertook insane NASA-style space selection trials. She's having a quick break from this in March to have her second child, congratulations. And then she'll return to her race for the stars. Oh, and she has a master's in geophysics. Yeah. And then last but certainly not least, we have Vix Anderson. We don't have video for Vix because after studying her master's in war studies, she spent 8 years as an RAF intelligence officer. So it wasn't filmed for obvious reasons. But yes, she too was in the RAF. But it was actually 8 years after into her career that she made a really bold move and quit it all to start again. She now works as a gender expert, she's an entrepreneur, she's a conflict advisor, empowering women. It was this desire to empower women that led her to start this new life. She's the founder of the innovation company Zinc. She works as a gender and inclusive leadership specialist and an advocate for women, especially in defence and security. She volunteers with the VSO. She's been out in Bangladesh. She just got back from running a marathon in Uganda. So welcome, Vix. That was as brief as I could be. So there will be time for questions at the end. I'd like to say that we do love to be social, and this is a conversation that's starting now. So please do share this conversation. The hashtags are hashtags Clark's Nature, hashtag Star Wars, hashtag The Last Jedi. So we're now talking to our future selves, which is quite exciting, and I think fitting for Star Wars as well. So I'd like to start actually with a question to all of you, because of course this is all about Rey and this incredible figure who feels the Force. And we'll talk more about her story and how it overlaps with yours. But maybe starting with Victoria, what does being a force of nature mean to you?
Gosh, I think it's one of those things where you at some point have a choice and you either kind of completely submit and end up just kind of going along with what's given to you, or you make a choice to create your own path and your own, literally put every single brick in front of you that you walk that, you know, makes, that feels correct to you. So I think that for me, that's what it means. It means being an architect of your own image, individuality, identity, you know, creating your own world, yeah. I suppose.
I think that's something you've done phenomenally. You have, you know, you cannot be defined. And I think each one of you here, Niski, perhaps you have a comment on this, because you know, force of nature, you've done phenomenal sort of physical and mental things as well. So what does it mean to you?
I think it's really similar to what Victoria said. It's like those moments. It's interesting, the use of the word force tend to associate it with pushing really hard or being really forceful and strong, whereas I actually think the power in the force of nature is almost the opposite, when you actually let go of that need to control, especially trying to control the outcome, which can be so exhausting. And it's almost like a surrendering, but in the sense to the fullness of who you are, allowing yourself to feel everything in the moment, which can also be exhilarating and challenging, depending on the moment.
And what about yourself, Kerry?
I kind of see being the force of nature as maybe having a passion or a dream or something that you really, really believe in. And that force is kind of fighting towards what you want, what, you know, if it's your goal or your big aiming for the stars, kind of fighting and having that spirit that keeps you going towards it, that drive and determination. That's what I see. That's kind of, if I think of the force, that's kind of how I see it.
I think that's in that sort of idea of spirit and passion, which is something you and I talked about, Vix. Mm-hmm. And to you, what is being a force of nature?
Yeah, I think it's a really hard question to answer, especially coming at the end. But for me, it brings up images of raw energy. And I think when you talk to women who are forces of nature, you just feel this wave of passion, determination, energy that just comes off of them. And I think there's almost something about you kind of want to tap into that. And how do I get some of that? And I think I think everybody can be a force of nature. I think we all have that kind of, that energy, that truth really deep down inside of us. And I think what's really interesting about, you know, the group of women that I'm sat with is that those are people who have really been able to kind of uncover, like, what is my truth, what is my energy, and then to channel that to achieve just incredible, incredible things.
And I think that's something, and we've all talked about, you know, amazingly, I sit here intimidated by you all, but actually, you know, getting to know you all, you are so sort of all just human as well. And I think that's something really interesting to know. And so we look up to people like you. But what's going to is who would you say your role models are? I mean, perhaps start with you, Carrie. Who do you?
So when I was young, I did a school project about Amelia Earhart, so an American woman who was the first, well, she was basically a pioneer, aviation pioneer, and broke down so many barriers for women. And I think because of her work, and she set up some organisations for women pilots, because of her work, I just ended up getting really enthralled in what she did, and she wrote books, so I kind of read lots of that, and maybe that was an inspiration for me joining the Air Force. And then someone in the modern days, there's a NASA astronaut called Peggy Whitson, and she's been two times commander of the International Space Station. She's also the person that's the American that's been in space the longest, so out of everyone, you know, men or women, she has the record. And also,
that's
she's just
amazing fact. Let's
she's
just
incredible.
There, actually, in terms of, you know, it is a woman who has, you know, sorry men, but it is a woman who has the.
Yeah,
the
and she's 57 record. Years old and just come back from space. She's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I she's mean, my modern day inspiration.
There are these. Sort of, what about you, Victoria? Who would you say is your?
Gosh, I think it's varied throughout different periods of my time. I think that when I was a kid, ironically for this event, I think. I grew up spending many years in hospital, and I think that Disney was actually my main inspiration of feeling like I can achieve anything. And there's sometimes when I do a talk, actually, I show the little extract of Little Mermaid when she comes out and she gets her legs and she's like, whoa! So, you know, it's funny, but that was definitely such a big thing. And then, you know, when I was older, I think Alexander McQueen, Matthew Barney, I think the more extreme kind of art creators where I think I've always adored the idea that you can be the creator, the painter, the maker, you can change things, transform things, you know, and I think so those kind of usually my kind of role models were like, why stop? You don't like it, just, you know, just work on it, make it different.
I think that's a nice point, actually, and it is, you know, and Disney, there really is something in that you can be who you want to be, that sort of that magical aspect. And that's why I love, you know, Rey as a character. What's going on in Disney is that Rey as a character, there's this idea that she is stronger than she knows, in that she really has had to dig deep. She didn't necessarily start as a heroine, she just did what she had to do. And I know we were talking about this, as Vic, perhaps you got home on this, how do you, you know, see yourself in light of that story as well? And what inspiration do you have for other women?
What in terms of that, just sort of
doing your own thing, doing, and not necessarily waking up going, I'm a heroine.
Yeah, so people ask me about this with Uganda. So Uganda was my first marathon, and people are like, why would you run a marathon in Uganda? It was very hot and very hilly. And I was like, well, why wouldn't I run a marathon in Uganda? It just didn't occur to me that was a strange thing to do. I was just like, I want to run a marathon, and my friend runs this incredible charity program that's been running for 3 years out there, where you get to go out and you get to volunteer with the programs that you're raising money for, and you just get to do this, like, you know, 26.2 mile run at the end of the day.
Of course you do.
And so for me, I think it's that kind of just getting out of bed and just living your life and just one small step at a time. I was just talking to somebody earlier about, you know, where their career might go and what are you going to be when you grow up and all those kind of big questions. And I feel like there's so much pressure on us to have an answer to that. And I don't think anybody really knows. You just kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other and you hope that you keep enjoying the journey and you hope that it's going to take you somewhere amazing at some point. But as we were saying earlier, that actually enjoying the journey is so much more important than, you know, any kind of big thing, I want to be a heroine at the
I
end of the day.
I think it's too, that sort of enjoying the journey, which we forget to do, we forget to be present. And I know, Iski, a lot of your work is about being present and the connection with nature. Would you like to tell? I mean, it must have been terrifying, the big wave, which I've looked this up. Iski was the first female to surf, I'm right, isn't it? The big wave, which is...
Well, there's lots of big waves.
Yeah.
But
the big wave.
Yeah, and then these waves have their own particular kind of almost identities and characteristics and their own force and power. And I think as a surfer, you're drawn to that, but you're always putting yourself in an environment where you're not in control, and it's constantly changing, unpredictable, and you have to adapt and be fluid in the moment. And so if you're somewhere else in your mind, then you're just going to get sideswiped by a wave. but the presence, and then in, what happens in big wave settings, so waves get, we're talking maybe, you know, the height of this room, double the height of this room. 20, 30, 40 feet starts to get wow. big wave territory. And so it's specialized training and equipment and to be able to catch something that basically it's moving at force of energy in the water that's traveled like thousands of miles created by a storm way out in the Atlantic, let's say. But those moments, I guess you're really confronted. I think nature and in particular waves are, for me, a really powerful mirroring process. So you're really confronted with whatever you're carrying inside or whatever fears or doubts you haven't dealt with, they'll surface. And then you have the choice of either you let that overcome you or you move through it, I guess. So again, it goes back to that presence in the moment, which is a letting go of all the judgment, expectation, and just allowing yourself to be there.
I think that's sort of letting go of judgment and expectation. And I mean, sort of Victoria, you sort of, you know, you're very sort of futuristic and all these links to science fiction, which is almost the opposite of nature. But there's something interesting in that idea that you've had times where you've had to have incredible strength. I mean, I've seen your latest video where you're doing ballet on a spike. I mean, can you tell us a bit about those times when you really have had to be sort of strong and how you find that strength within you?
Well, I think that the letting go of the judgment and thing, I think many artists or many people who are actually a force of nature, I think part of being, you know, being this energy and this force is that, you know, most people that I know do spend time doubting themselves all the time. And I think that the second that you think that you're an idol, you know, I think that it's kind of over. I think the reality is that, you know, a lot of the time, I think if you do something really that other people might perceive as brave or really bold, you know, at the time, the only reason that you can do it is often because you just feel like you have no other choice. And it has to be really meaningful and really true. You know, actually, one point that you mentioned about the sci-fi stuff, you know, being almost the opposite to nature, is that's actually one of the things that I'm really dedicating so much passion right now, is that I do believe that future and technology and science are misrepresented by the media and the way, you know, we've imagined how it's going to be, but we're getting to make it ourselves right now. And I think that it's a lot more connected to nature and our consciousness and our humanity than the sort of the industry has how they've harvested technology as it's all about, you know, products and stuff. So I think, you know, and it's great, and technology is moving.
Well, that's something we were sort of saying, actually, this idea of sort of nature. Why do you have to choose between technology and nature? You know, and actually Clarks itself is a company that is based in both of those, you know, leaders in technology and innovation, and yet we've sort of seen that this future vision is that we leave the Earth behind. I mean, Kerry, you've always chased the stars. Do you see this vision as the future humanity is out in space, or are we returning to nature?
Well, I think being out in space is kind of nature. So we've got, obviously, this Earth that we need to look after, but if we go out and, you know, maybe colonize another planet, that's a whole nother load of nature. And nature isn't necessarily just the trees, it's what we create as well. So my idea, you know, big dreams and passions, go and maybe colonize Mars, see what we can create there, what kind of environment we can create for ourselves.
I mean, I love that. And each one of you has always, we talked in our conversations earlier about sort of, you know, having dreams as children, but actually thinking, you know, you said, well, why wouldn't you go run a marathon in Uganda? It's not necessarily the first thing I think at that point. But, you know, perhaps it would be nice to hear what, if you could give advice to your younger selves, What would it be? Perhaps we start, Victoria, with you. What would you advise, sort of, you, age 17?
Oh gosh, I think it would probably be to actually just follow your own instincts. I think that sometimes, you know, as a young person wanting to be professional in something, you tend to listen to people who are scared to diversify or who are scared to you know, of ideas that haven't been tried before. And I think that, you know, I definitely spent way too long at one point just being like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be trying to do five different things. Maybe I shouldn't be interested in music and science. You know, maybe this is wrong. And, you know, and so I think it would be definitely just to follow passion, because, you know, when you're curious, it's like it beats everything. It beats education. It beats everything, that kind of motivation that you have from curiosity.
So encourage you to be curious and be brave about that.
Totally.
Issy, what about yourself?
It completely resonates. I think I think my younger self had like really nailed that. I'm completely drawn like to the edge of things and into danger zones and taking risks and taking a leap into the unknown. Yeah. Like that I'm good at. But it's the other, more like being okay with the everyday ordinary stuff is sometimes a real challenge. But what I would say, I think especially as a young woman, a lot of that we're moving into often territories where there is no blueprint and we don't yet have the reference material or the person to follow, because that's only starting to shift in terms of women in leadership. And a lot of then you feel quite isolated and alone. And I traveled a lot through my teenage years competing with surfing. And I felt like I had to have my armor on all the time in order to fit that strong role model. And I think when we talk about Ray too, it's interesting that that can be really exhausting. And that need to sort of thinking that if I really express how I truly feel, I'm almost giving away my power. Whereas now I'm recognizing that actually if I allow myself to really feel the fullness of that, that is my power.
It's really interesting. Carrie, you're nodding. Would you?
No, absolutely. Exactly as you said, resonates with me as well. When I was younger, I don't think I really believed in myself. I didn't have as much self-confidence as maybe I should have done, because I didn't trust myself. I almost felt like I was creating a persona for other people to like, because I was worried of other people's judgment, worried of what everyone else would say. Especially in the early days, maybe fast jet training, when I was surrounded by so many guys with big egos, I felt like I had to be a different person to try and compete, to try and be good enough to be their equal. And now I think as I've got older, I've just learnt to be more comfortable in myself, and people can accept that. Some people don't accept that, that's fine. But I think I'd tell my younger self to, you know, believe in yourself and just try and be happy with who you are and just enjoy that journey rather than trying to be someone you're not.
Yeah, what about yourself, Vicks?
I think everything that Abdu said so far really resonates with me too, and reminds me there's a mantra in yoga, Soham, and it literally means I am. And what I really like about that now, I think, like some of the others were saying, that as a young woman, I felt like I had to be certain things for certain people. And you know, now I have this like really diverse portfolio of things that I do that to a lot of people don't really make any sense. They don't really make a lot of sense to me sometimes, but like, that's okay. And I am all of that, and I am enough. And I think that took me a long time to really understand. And now kind of really embracing that story. You know, I went into what I felt was a really conventional career. You know, I'd grown up in a military family, so joining the Air Force seemed like the most normal thing to do in the world, which I appreciate, you know, that might sound weird to people, but it felt really conventional. And you know, there are times now where I'm like, oh, maybe I should have like tried to embrace my creative self earlier on and things. I'm like, actually, no, this is my story, and I wouldn't be sat here now if I hadn't done all of those things. So I am.
And I think that's such a beautiful the phrase, I am, and I think everybody in this room probably struggles with that, and it's a huge sort of source of inspiration for everybody. And what I love about everyone sitting beside me is that you are all so many different things as well, but still yourself. You know, we talked, everyone here has both a science and an arts background, which to me is fantastic, and all of you are doing things that perhaps, you know, women are only now being able to do, and you are at the forefront of that and pushing that. And I think there's something like Ray, you know, she's this wonderful female protagonist. Which you are all in this world today. Do you feel that, you know, things are changing for women? I mean, Victoria, you're setting off on, you know, you're breaking walls that people didn't even know existed down. So where do you see the future of sort of females going?
Well, I think for out of all the times in history, like, women have such an important role right now, because we're actually actively involved in creating the future and being part of, you know, shaping the future. So, but you know, this, I think the best, you know, just from personal experience of doing, you know, trying to rebrand, like look at rebranding disability, for example, or looking at you know, can we not even talk about disability at all? Can we just look at it as an alternative, you know, body or whatever? You know, working with something like that, you know, I think the best thing is really for, you know, women like this to step up and actually just do their own thing, because there's a lot of conferences and conversations about how we can change things, but actually you just need examples. You actually need people going up, setting an example, doing amazing things, creating that new type of thought, and you know. But it's interesting. I do think that there is, you know, there's always a really strong link to the media and to sci-fi in particular, you know, of how women are portrayed. And you know, I think it's slowly changing. You know, a lot. Everyone could. it's.
But it is people like you showing that these things are possible, and possible by just being normal human beings who are doing these things. It's something you said, Kerry, about sort of, you know, being a mother and also being in the RAF. You'd like to sort of...
Yeah, so I'll be having a baby in March, and the roles of women are definitely changing, because somebody, you know, my grandmother says to me, oh, you're such a career woman, Kerry. I feel like I'm just a girl who's got a job and a family. It doesn't have to be, you know, a career woman. But when I have this baby in March, I'll take some time off, but then... because the parental leave system's changed, my husband's going to take 6 months off as well. So I'll go back to work. I won't necessarily be this career woman as in my grandmother's day you would have been. And I feel like it's changing because people don't judge you so much now for being, you know, maybe in the past you would have been a bad mother for going back to work. Or in the past my husband, you know, his friends wouldn't have let him live it down if he'd taken 6 months off work and to be the house husband, you know. But now it's becoming, because the employers and the workforce are able to, the men and women are able to share those, and hopefully we'll get more female leaders, more female pilots, more female astronauts.
But I think that's just something we talked about, Vix, as well, if you'd like to.
I mean, I think things are changing, and Kerry's right. I think if you look at the generational change, you know, my mother's experience, my grandmother's experience, things are changing, but they're not changing fast enough. You know, there are still more men called John on the boards of FTSE 100 companies than there are women. Two women a week die at the hands of intimate partners in domestic abuse. The equivalent of one jumbo jet's worth of women die every day around the world from preventable pregnancy-related causes. You know, less than 10% of our armed forces are made up of women. Like, it's just not changing fast enough.
And it is a conversation, and it is by having people like you all as women, and by having characters like Ray, you know, for the other people can, like you said, you remembered the mermaid in The Little Mermaid, you know, hopefully younger people coming up now will be like, when they're little, think, remember that moment when Ray was stronger than she was. And I mean, Lucy, you've worked with women all around the world as well. You know, what do you see for the future of women? And
yeah, I think it's like what you said, Vix, about that really struck me, like that I am enough, you know, just as I am. And within that, being able to allow for the diversity of what that experience is. So with the work that I've done, a lot of it is cross-cultural too. So using that connection with, in particular for me, my bias is the sea and surfing. So that's my medium. So with women in places like Papua New Guinea and Iran, and they seem like worlds apart and very different, maybe perhaps needs, but... I think what I wanted to say, I totally lost the train of thought.
Yeah, but there's that empowering women, and I think it is. And I think it is, you guys and Ray and these things that will empower women. You know, and I find it is a very exciting time, I think, in terms of technology, in terms of what women are doing.
Yeah, I think actually what I wanted to say was that it's we can also, with this sort of, it's almost pitched as like a women's movement, but it actually it's I think a movement for men and women, and it's also, we've got to be careful not to just lump us all in that we're all women, so therefore we all have the same needs or we all face the same issues, and it's so. I kind of lumped into sort of the universal woman. Actually, we're really, that excludes the diversity and the richness and the ability to sort of transform who we are and play with that. And so a lot of it is to do with having more diverse representation across the board, not just gender, and allowing for more platforms like that and creative scenes.
That was the sort of one of the reasons about having this panel today, was to say that, you know, these women here are incredibly inspirational, but not just to other women, to men as well, to every single person. You know, and it shouldn't just be women. You're inspiring men, everybody, children. I hope what's happening is that we are allowing women to be forces of nature. I mean, you see, it's funny because I
bring it back to surfing, just because I think there's something very interesting in surfing, having to feel the force in surfing. I mean, to you, what is the force? You know, how do you feel that?
I think struck by what you were saying, and I feel like when I cross, where I feel I was most at home is when I cross that threshold and step into the sea and into water. And I think it's because you can leave all of that behind. It almost strips away maybe all the roles we feel like we have to play, and even the gender, like that the ocean is just that space where you can be. You're not a man or a woman or a, you know, and it's when we bring in the other stuff that changes. So also in the surfing world, the other side of it is that there are all those structural barriers. There isn't sponsorship or funding the same way there is in support of women and women's events. And but yet the draw, the why I do it is that other sense of freedom. And it's so powerful, yeah. And it's a force bigger than you that you're tapping into and connecting with. But I think that's all around us. You don't have to step into 20, 30-foot waves in the wild Atlantic off the north coast of Ireland.
But I think there's all times I've seen all of you in action, all sort of where you have, yeah, channeled the force. Everyone here in this panel has done something that perhaps is not necessarily seen as a female role or even a role at all. You know, and I always come back to this idea of sort of having to, you know, be stronger than you feel. Okay, we haven't actually talked about when you were training on all to try and, yeah, for the space training. Were there times, can you tell us about a time perhaps when you've really had to dig deep where you thought, I can't do this?
So in the astronaut selection tests that I've been doing, there were kind of 50 different tests, and there was this overriding message when the show was on TV that, you know, Kerry's had all this military training, she should be really good at this. And there was one test in particular, we had to learn Russian, as astronauts do at the moment, and basically all the other people were kind of, they'd spoken quite a few languages. I felt already on the back foot as soon as we got told we had to do this. And then when we were being tested, I realised that there was no way I was going to measure up to everybody else. I was just so nervous. I'd almost like stopped my chance of, you know, of doing well, because I'd made myself so nervous, because I didn't think I was going to do well. I'd almost told myself, you know, you've lost this already, because, you know, in my head I didn't believe in myself.
So how did you find that power, didn't you?
I took myself to the toilet and had a word with myself, because I said, I just thought, you're not gonna, what's the point of you going in there to do this test if you've already think you failed? So I had to kind of say to myself, if you believe in yourself, then maybe it'll go okay. I mean, it didn't go as badly as I thought, but I still didn't do very well. But in the toilet, I was stood there like Wonder Woman, kind of a power stance.
I think not doing well in your guys' books is sort of a relative thing.
Whereas it was compared to some other incredible people. So yeah, those guys absolutely smashed it out of the park. And yeah, so I know I stood in the toilet doing the Wonder Woman stance, trying to like, you can do this, you can, you know, pep myself up, which I just had to do, because I just couldn't get that feeling of failure. I was going to fail out of my head.
And I'm imagining as a Vix, when you're sort of running up a hill in the heat recently, were there moments where you had to really talk to yourself?
Yes. If anybody's run a marathon, it's not actually about your body at that point. It's all about the psychology. But actually, for me, this question made me think. So about a year ago, I was actually off work, sick with stress. I'd really sort of pushed myself to the point where like my body was starting to give out. And that felt like a really dark time. You know, I couldn't see a way out of that. And I think for me, just sort of finding that little glimmer of light inside me and going, there is something here that I want to do, and it's really scary. And I've got no idea if, you know, I can make this kind of portfolio career thing work. I don't know if I can be an entrepreneur, and I could not use that word for months. Like that's been a really new thing, way of describing myself. But there was just something that made me kind of like keep getting out of bed and go, well, I can turn this around, I can keep going. Yeah.
What about yourself, Victoria? So it's times when you've had to really dig deep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's interesting that there's a lot of connections with like the physical, going through a distressful physical experience, as well as emotional kind of challenge. I do think there is some kind of science that, you know, having going through a particularly traumatizing physical experience does kind of kick in some extra hidden, like, human survival weird instincts that do kind of give you a thing. But, you know, I do feel that, you know, this feeling of force. I mean, for me personally, when the times when it switches on is usually when something feels really like natural, and of course this should exist, of course I should be able to do that, of course this should exist for other people, or things should be different, you know, with our society, and then you just arrive there and it isn't like that. That usually for me is like, no way, like this should be different, you know, this can be changed. And that's when I kind of go into like full force mode, you know.
It's when the force comes out.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think, you know, and I think it goes with the nature in, you know, where you're, you know, you feel in your gut that things aren't right and things should be different. Or when someone's telling you that it's not possible, you know, you just want to kind of
prove them wrong.
Yeah, you do want to prove them wrong. But I think, you know, it's definitely a thing that, you know, can be applied to everyone. I think everybody is capable of just caring and engaging and following your curiosity and you know, kind of being alive, that sort of thing. But it's interesting that, you know, back to your question, is that I do think it's something that can be harvested on a larger scale for various types of industries and companies and stuff. I think it's that, you know, that spirit needs to be continued outside of the individual into a bigger scale, you know, because I think it's possible.
So I totally agree, and I think it is that starts with ourselves and empowerment, and then it spreads out. And easy, perhaps, you know, there must have been times when you have had to dig really deep and thought this was impossible and I'm going to do this. And how do you find that strength, that force?
I just listening to everyone, I wonder, is it also a bit of like, we talk about force and as I'll talk about energy and passion and drive. And just before we came on here, I was having a really interesting conversation with Vix around energy, and we, you know, we give so much of it, and how are we receiving it? How are we charging ourselves up in a way? And yeah, I think a lot of it is tuning more into that, so that we don't have to be on all the time, you know. And I think that's just so important, especially this when we try to promote women's leadership or empowerment, we feel like that we have to be on all the time. But actually, no, our natural cycles are this flow of high energy. And then Vix talked about that need for a more like pulling, drawing our energy back in and being reflective. So I use the analogy of that power of that pause. So a lot of surfing is also waiting for waves. So you're in the space between waves. Most of surfing, actually, you're on a wave for only a few seconds. So it is always that like flux and flow, and it's just allowing for that. And we don't have many spaces for that in the everyday.
That's true, and it comes back to that idea of just, you know, I am, and I am, and I am here.
I'm not sure how inspirational it is, but my mum sent me a card when I was deployed in Afghanistan, and the cover, it just says, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. And like, it's such a simple phrase, but for me, you know, in the times where things have been tough, and you are trying to sort of get through a difficult time, for me that's been really sort of motivational, and I'm like, yeah, okay, this might be hard right now, but it is going to be okay, and everything is going to be okay, and I just have to have faith in that.
For me it would be, don't be afraid of failure, because if you haven't failed a few times in your life, it means you haven't pushed the boundaries enough. So that always just tells me to take risks, and then any failures that I have had, and I've had so many failures along the way, being chopped from fast jet training was, you know, one of the biggest, hardest things in my life to deal with, but it just presented loads of, I just saw it as new challenge, new opportunity, let's go in a new direction, let's put this passion and energy into something new. So by being not afraid to fail, it means you take chances and you take those risks.
Oh, going along the line, okay. my mum used to say to me when I was young, maybe when I was about 12 years old, this quote that really stuck with me was that she used to tell me that the limit of limits is your limit. So take a deep breath. So I think it's really important to take the deep breath. But I think what she really meant was that the only limits are those that we place on ourselves. Not that there are, we're always going to come up against barriers in that, but it's imagining, I suppose, what's possible. And that kind of just, like, opened up the horizon.
Amazing. And Victoria?
Well, I want to give it up to the mums, right? Because, like, how great are mums? Clearly doing a great job. Loved what you mentioned about that the thing that you see is that imagination. So I think when I was young and I had like most ridiculous 6-year period of just being in a hospital all the time, it was ridiculous. But my mom definitely made it feel like having imagination was my force, being able to, you know, and I spent such a long time in a really kind of confined environment where, you know, I think that, you know, we are often taught to stop using our imagination really freely because, you know, and in a way, not going to school and not being part of a rigid system made me imagine much easier because I wasn't constantly, you know, when you think about things, you immediately stop. There's little barriers in your head that people have taught you, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, or you can't do that, and you're not supposed to talk about things in this way. And I think being able to strip back and don't get rid of imagination, because like that is key.
Very important.
That's very so important. Important. Yeah. Well, because, yeah. You know, the younger generation, like your children right now, you know, they need to be able to imagine the future and create it, and with that imagination, you know,
yeah, it's nothing.
Amazing. Cool. And thank you. And I think on that note, we're sort of at time. Sadly, we could go on all day long. But what amazing advice we want. Now, this is not the end. This is just the start of a conversation. So, like I said, you know, please, like, we are very social. We have the hashtag Parks Nature, The Last Jedi, and Star Wars. I'd like to thank Disney. I'd like to thank Jason and Clarks for everything. You know, this is, like I said, just the start. But most of all, I'd like to thank all of you for really just being the everyday living rays that inspire us all and generations to come.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting us.
And thank you to the audience.